Philippians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 4 and just read a couple of verses here this morning. Yeah, stress causes us to do some strange things. I was reading this real cute joke about a guy who gave the old-fashioned mood rings to his wife for a present one time, and then she was talking about how well it worked. She says, when I'm happy, you know, the mood ring turns green. And when I'm not happy, it leaves a red mark on my husband's forehead. Okay, stress, yeah. So Paul writes, and by the way, he writes from prison. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from us or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So let's go back now and let's look at that word anxious, you know, anxious, the feeling of distress, trouble, uneasiness. Anxiety is a distracting care. When we worry, we can become so engrossed in caring for a thing that we can become distracted from anything else. Worry can move our minds from what is to back to what has been, and then the hard part is even worry about what is not yet. You know what I mean? I mean, how many things that we allow ourselves to worry about, be anxious about, are things that hasn't even happened yet and that we're worrying will happen, right? Worry can rob us of appetite, physical health, emotional health, rest, right? And worry and anxiety, wrong kind of anxiety, can rob us of the peace of God. It doesn't solve tomorrow's problems. Jesus made that clear. But it empties us of today's strength. Amen? That's a good place for an amen. We had a guest speaker one time that came to us from the Church of God, and Pastor Gary sometimes fills in for me when I'm not able to be here on Sunday mornings, and I remember, you know, Pastor Gary comes from a background, a spirit-filled background, and it's very customary in his church for the congregation to say, amen, you know, amen, right, Church of God. And so I remember when he was speaking here the first time, and I was actually present that time, and he gave one of those points, and you could tell he was just hanging there waiting for the amen. And, you know, hey, we're all products of our environment, right, our background, you know, our situations and what we have learned or been accustomed to. But I want to tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord moves, it's okay for you to say amen. Yeah, so I have a quote here from a guy that I don't know, but I thought the quote was so good that I wrote it down. Arthur Roche, whatever, I don't know who he is. Maybe you do. It says this, though. Worry is a thin stream of fear through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Interesting. Worry is a thin stream of fear through the mind. If encouraged, cuts a channel into the mind, which all other thoughts, into which all other thoughts are drained. Huh? Stop and think for a moment with me. Just how many different problems in our lives come from the anxiety that we feel. You know, you think about it, anxiety over finances, right? Oh man, you know, I remember when we were married for about 3.5, 4 years, and Kim was pregnant, and she had a complicated pregnancy with our second child, and so as a result, she wasn't able to work, and we had, you know, kind of grew accustomed to both of those incomes. And as a result of it, I'm going to tell you, you know, it was really stressful in terms of the finances. We're concerned our refrigerator went out. We didn't have money to buy a new refrigerator. You know, all this stuff was going on. And I remember how hard that was at that time, and how anxiety just over finances can really be debilitating, huh? It really can. I mean, there's lots of different sources. Anxiety, there were times in my work before I became full-time as a pastor, when just anxiety about performing, you know, at work would really get to me. I remember I worked at Old Bedford Village. I was the director there for a couple of years. And, you know, it's a nonprofit in every sense of the word. And when you're, you know, in a position where, you know, you're kind of responsible to make payroll, and you don't know if you're going to have enough money for payroll, it's stressful. It really is, you know, and you want to succeed. You want to be able to have more success at work in regard to being able to have income come into that business. That gives you a little peace when you go to make payroll. You know what I mean? It's stress, anxiety about relationships in our lives. You know, I guess all of us are touched with, you know, stressful relationships, or have been in our past, sometimes from relatives, sometimes from friends. But anxiety about relationships can really affect you, can cause you to react wrongly to people, right? I don't need to give illustrations of that. Then you'll feel all kind of guilty, and I don't want to make you feel guilty. But you know, it's anxiety can make you do terrible things, if you let it, right? So if anxiety could be conquered in your life, could you see how a lot of problems could be overcome? Yeah. So that's where we want to focus on, and we want to talk about how. So remember I said we've been on this series about growing closer to God. Well, listen to me. Faith and trust in God stemming from a clear perspective of who He is, how much He loves you, what He's like, what He can and will do for you, is the antidote for anxiety. So growing closer to God, knowing Him better, results in being able to trust Him more. Right? Our trust in God, as we grow in understanding of who God is, and what His purposes are in the world, and what His purposes are in our lives. Understanding that He is a very personal God, that He is with us, and as Michelle shared, will never leave us or forsake us. You know, that is the antidote. We worry, as I mentioned, over a lot of things, stuff that even yet hasn't happened and may never. But I can tell you that I have met a lot of people in my life that seem to be more prone to anxiety than others. You know, it seems like sometimes your makeup, you know, probably based upon your background and your experiences in life, can make you have a temperament that is more prone to worry or anxiety. And it's evident because of how you respond to stress, to fear, to worry. But you know, to be anxious doesn't mean that you shouldn't be concerned about things. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't take your life seriously or circumstances seriously. It doesn't mean that you go through life with this que sera, sera attitude and you just blow everything off, right? That's not what we're talking about. But it really does, it does mean trusting in God, even in your cares. The Bible says, cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. But it acknowledges that we all have cares, right? So let's look at this passage and understand from really digging into this passage that Paul wrote, just how he was able to respond because of his understanding of who God was, his faith and trust in God. He was able to respond, not in anxiety, but in peace. So when you think about the book of Philippians, you should know, you probably do, that that Paul is writing from a prison cell, right? Earlier in this book, in the second chapter, he begins to speak about Timothy, and he says, I don't have anyone like him who's genuinely concerned for your welfare. And you know what's interesting? You know me with words. When I looked up the word anxiety, and then the program that I have shows you the other places in the scripture where the same word is used. Well, right back here, when Paul says about Timothy, I don't have anyone like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. The word concerned is the same root word of anxiety. You can see that, right? It's the same word that he uses here in verse 4 in chapter 4. Yeah, same thing in the book of 1 Corinthians. I found the verse there in chapter 12 and verse 25 when Paul was talking about the body of Christ. He was talking about the church. You know, he says that the members of the body each have the same care for one another. That's how the body of Christ should operate, when we care for one another. Same word, care. Care, anxiety. What I found out is that anxiety and care are two sides to the same coin. Worrying is the flip side of caring. The key is what you do with your cares, right? That's the key. So when Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication is the word there, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. He's talking about how to not let your cares turn into debilitating anxiety in your life. That's what he's talking about. You know, even Jesus. Following Jesus in your life doesn't mean that there won't be cares, right? But we learn when we get to know God better that we can bring those cares, all of them, to God. And when we do, and especially when we're in deep prayer and thinking about the presence of God, we begin to see our cares in a different light. That's called perspective, right? And let me tell you something, perspective is everything. The way you look at life, the way you look at things, you know, perspective. And we, Spirit-filled believers, right? We want to be able to use that powerful God Spirit within us to be able to direct our sight in such a way that we begin to see with the perspective God wants us to see, to put things in the perspective that He sees, He knows. Yeah. And it comes first from seeing Him more clearly with us. I mean, come on. When you really know for sure that you know that you know that you know that God is with you, you know, even when cares come, you know, you got somebody right there. The God of angel armies is always by my side, right? Yeah. Consider how this was working for Paul in this passage of Scripture, right? He'd been jailed for sharing his faith in Christ. Now, you know, some Christians, you know, if they would find themselves in a bad place as a result of doing something good, would say, what's up with that? You know, what's up with that, God? Here I am trying to serve you, and this happens? You know? I know lots of people that have said, you know, hey, I'm getting closer to God. Why are all these things happening in my life now? You know, why is this happening? Right? Perspective. Jailed for sharing his faith. And he says, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't worry about anything. Speaking from a prison, Paul is not this naive optimist that, you know, is just a que sera or a kumaratata or whatever, however you said that Lion King phrase, right? He's speaking as a person that knows God and knows God's ability to work even in very bad situations, right? I mean, let me show you a couple examples. In the first chapter of Philippians, right? You know, when Paul could have easily and appropriately, we think, be worried about what was going to happen even to the churches when he was himself imprisoned, right? You know, he had said there in the first chapter, he says, listen, I want you to be at peace. Can I tell you, he says, can I tell you what's going on here behind the scenes that you got to be able to see in this circumstance? He said, don't be worried about me. He says, listen, what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. Yeah, he says, do you know, because I'm here in prison, the whole palace guard has come to know who Christ is. You know, that's perspective. That's being able to see good that comes out of bad. Do you know when Romans 8:28 says, and I know that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, it doesn't say all things are good. It says the God that we love, the God that loves us, can work all things together for good. Difference, right? Yeah, so Paul, you know, he's in a situation that wasn't good, being in prison, and he was able to see God's invisible hand at work in that circumstance. So he could say, listen, can I encourage you? Do you know, yeah, I'm in prison, but as a result of it, there's a whole bunch of people that otherwise would have never known Christ that are coming to know Christ. How good is that? Does Paul care what's going to happen to him and the churches that he started? Of course he cares. Of course he cares. Remember, that's the same word that comes from the same Greek word that we get worry or anxiety from. But he's not worried, anxious in a negative sense. Why? He's able to trust in God. In the midst of his circumstances, he's able to trust in God and know that God can bring good out of the bad situations to which have occurred, to which, by the way, Paul seemingly has no control. Don't you hate the stuff in your life that you can't control? Oh, how many here are control freaks? Don't raise your hand. Your wife will do it for you. I know, Jay. Yeah, that's it. But there are, you know, that's absolutely. We like to be in control. We like to be in control of our lives, right? Can I just let you in on a little tiny piece of truth? There really isn't anything that we can control. Only our response to what happens, right? When you start to realize that, then you start to realize what Paul is getting at when he says, in everything, give it to God, right? And everything, make your request known to Him. Yeah. Paul even saw, you know, when he was in there, he said, you know, I know that there's some people going around proclaiming Christ out of envy and rivalry, even though some are doing it from goodwill. That bothered Paul, that people were doing that. But he said, you know what? I even see how God is using people that may not even mean well to actually bring about something good. He said, these people may not be preaching for the right reasons, but people are coming to know the Lord still the same. You know, I like that. You know, I really appreciate that you know, there's some folks that may be preaching the gospel for the wrong reason. You know that? It's true. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's the secular world has a field day sometimes with some of the televangelists that we see on television. You know, they like to poke fun and make fun and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they're pretty easy targets. But the reality is, you know, people still come to Christ. People still come to know the Lord? You know that. God can do it. Hey, if he can cause a donkey to speak and cause somebody to make, you know, a proclamation of faith, he can use anything. And Paul was saying that. He can use anything. And he is, he says. So I'm going to continue to rejoice, he says, because I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me is going to turn out for my good. Right? You see, the difference between just caring and worrying is that kind of faith. That kind of faith. Faith is not blind optimism. And it is not a crutch, despite what some of your unbelieving friends might say. Oh, well, you don't believe in God. It's just a crutch for the weak. I've heard that, you know. You know, one time in the Old Testament, when Jacob wrestled with God, God touched the hip socket, and he had a limp for the rest of his life. I call it a victorious limp. You know why? I think it reminded him all the time of his need for God. And you know what? I want to be reminded all the time of my need for God. When we start forgetting our need for God, that's when we let our own worries begin to take over, right? We need Him. Let's just face it. We need Him. And I have good news for you. Not only does He know it, but He cares for you. And in your need, He shows up, right? Paul, the same guy we're reading here, you know, Paul was saying one time, he said, you know, I pleaded with the Lord one time, three times, to take something away from me. Remember the thorn in the flesh thing? Yeah, you know. And he finally realized, God began to speak to him and said, listen, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, listen, is made perfect in weakness. So do you know what this pillar of faith the Apostle Paul came to the conclusion of? He said, I'm going to boast in my weaknesses then. Because when I am weak, He is strong. Hey, let me speak to you men here. It is no shame to admit your need for God. Amen? We need Him. And when we are stressed and we feel worry and anxiety rising, it's not the same as meaning we are faithless. When anxiety strikes you, it doesn't mean that you're faithless. It means your faith is being attacked. Oh, boy, was that a good place for an amen. When anxiety strikes, it doesn't mean you're faithless. It means our faith is being attacked. Amen. Oh, boy, yes. I can see why he likes that, you know. I'm just teasing. Seeing God's invisible hand. Okay. I promised myself I was going to make this short today because we're going to eat. And I knew I was going to smell that food, so I probably have incentive to do that. And I know that some of you are saying, that would be good, John. But I want to tell you that, you know, I have just seen this week God's invisible hand at work. You know, and it's a wonderful thing. Kim and I, you know, are in the process of taking the old Family Christian bookstore and turning it into a place, a building where she can treat kids with autism. And I got to tell you, it has been quite an eye-opening experience of all the red tape and paperwork and codes and laws and process. And you know, we purchased that building in October. And we still haven't been able to move in because of all the paperwork that needs to be done with coding and permitting. And it's been extremely frustrating. And the last frustration came a week and a half ago when, after getting all the stuff that they asked for us in place, they now told us that we had to have an irrevocable letter of credit or a performance bond with the amount of the renovations before they would issue the permit. So I had no idea what that meant, and so I looked into it. We said, okay, letter of credit. Credit's good, we'd call the bank. Oh, yeah, John, no problem. We'll give you a letter of credit. Just take the money, and we have to put it into a savings account, and we'll use that as collateral to give you the letter of credit. I said, okay. Can I access the money then to do the work? No. That's collateral. I said, well, wait a minute now. I got to put the money that I'm going to use for the renovations into a savings account so I can get the city of Altoona a letter saying that we have the money, but yet I'm not allowed to use the money. Is that what you're saying? Well, yeah, you're not allowed to use that money. I said, well, what other money am I going to use? Yeah, I can't make it, right? And so it's like I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, Kim, she calls the banker and says, this doesn't make sense. And he says, I'll call the city. And so he did. And then he said, well, why don't you go get a performance bond instead of the letter of credit? I don't know what a performance bond is. So Saturday morning, this was Friday late, and the banker said, well, you know, we'll look into it and then talk to you Monday. So that was Friday late. Saturdays are wonderful times in our house. I get up, make him breakfast. I eat too, by the way, you know. I love to make, it's the only day really I make breakfast for Kim, but I like to make a good breakfast, you know, bacon, eggs, home fries. I'm pretty good at it. She's not here to say amen, but she would. Yeah. I'm getting better even, yeah. But anyway, you know, we're sitting and talking and just, you know, I was up about 2.5 hours before her on Saturday. Just, you know, a good time of devotions and prayer and preparation for the sermon. And she gets up, we start talking about this problem. What are we going to do, John? And I says, well, you know, I have no idea what a performance bond is. So we hear the mailman come, right? You can, you know, front door, he puts it in the mailbox. And so, not and got the mail. Come back, and there is a letter from our insurance company. And Kim opens it, and I look over at her, and her face turned white. And I'm thinking, what now? You know, the other shoe dropping, right? She said, what kind of bond did he say? And she handed me the letter with her hand going like this. And there's a letter from our insurance company says, do you know we issue performance bonds? The timing of that, you know, we look up and we're starting to cry, and they're not tears of sadness, you understand. We just look at each other and say, why should we worry? You know what I mean? Why should we worry? Trust, right? Trust. Hey, sometimes it's, you know, he's a midnight working God, you know, the 23rd and a half hour, right? And that does make us anxious, right? But trust, right? I love the testimony of Scripture. David, you know, when I am afraid, I put my trust in thee, he said, right? Yes. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And finally, what I realized when I was studying this verse is that Paul tells me and you the real key to exercising that wonderful knowledge and faith of God. Put it, that trust into action in a way that results in peace. He says, I'll tell you how to do it in a positive way. Think good thoughts, God's thoughts. Do you know how powerful your thought life is? Do you realize? You know, what does the scripture say, Luther? As a man thinketh, so is he, right? Absolutely. And so Paul ends this wonderful passage of Scripture when he says, you know, listen, finally, whatever is true, don't believe the lies of the devil. Whatever is true, Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about these things. I love that because it's proactive, you know. I love that verse in Scripture when Paul says, I take captive every thought and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. What a powerful thing to be able to do. You know, it is not a sin to have an anxious thought. But what you do with it next is the key. You know, old Benjamin Franklin, remember we said Wednesday night, was the one who was credited with that saying that says, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Which is a way of saying, it's not a sin to have an anxious thought, but what you do with it next, you don't let it nest. You don't let it nest. The ability by the power of God's Spirit, whom you are filled with, to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, controlling your thought life. Because of your faith and through your faith is the key to victory over fear and worry and anxiety. Right? Because of this relationship that is deepening. Because you're getting closer to God. Because you're getting to know Him better. You're able to trust Him more, and therefore you begin to shut down those wrong thoughts that come in. Those thoughts of fear and worry, as if God were not there. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Faith in God is not a crutch, but it is acknowledging a need. Whenever we face situations daily in our lives, that are hard, that are stressful. You know, we have this choice. Can we believe God is with us and will help us through? And can we allow that belief to rise up within us in such a way that we can grab a hold of every anxious thought and make it obedient to Christ? Can we throw out those thoughts that we know then are not right and replace them with thoughts that are? That's why it's so powerful to know Scripture. You begin to speak to yourself, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. You see, this is the fruit of coming to know God. The fruit of peace. That comes, that passes all understanding. The peace of God will rule in your heart. Can I tell you that I'm preaching this sermon to me? Maybe you too, huh? Let's pray. Father, we come and we thank You that we can, Lord, just come as we are, and You know us already, all our weaknesses. But Lord God, we bring them to You, and we ask You, Father, to strengthen our faith. Help us to know You better and be able, therefore, to trust You more. And then, Lord, by the power of Your indwelling Holy Spirit, help us to take captive every anxious thought and make it obedient to Christ. Help us, Lord, then to be able to think on good things in our lives. The thoughts that You put in our mind. Lord, the thoughts of how much You love us. The truth that You'll never leave us. That You'll never forsake us. That You are our very present help in time of trouble. Lord God, we worship You today. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for who You are. Stand with me, church.